It's a pleasure to be here. I'd rather not speak, though. Those of you that know me know that I can speak, but I'd rather not speak. I would rather God speak. I really would. And I think it's, as I look out among you, so many of you, I have seen you speak also. I remember Noah spoke, did a good job. And you had to prepare for that. And nobody knows, except maybe Lori. Maybe nobody knows. I mean, what God was doing in your heart to get you to that place where you could release it. And I'm sure it was the same for you as it is for me. In my prayer, it's not so much what I have to say. I ask God, what would you like to say and how would you like to say it? Of course, we know he's already Logos spoken to us. It's you, no matter how much of a scholar you become at this, there's a new face to God every day. And scriptures that I read 30, 40 years ago, they jump out at me and say something new. It's like, I never saw that in that before. And I think it's that way at the throne room. In the throne room, God is like angels, cherubim circling him, and they're constantly shouting in exclamation of the very God that they're looking at, in awe of him. It's like they saw him for the first time again. And they go around, and then on the other side, they're getting another side of God, and they shout back. I'm really looking forward to that throne room experience. Although, it's pretty messy there. I think I've heard that said by Malvina. And I've read that individuals who got to go there thought they were going to die. Even the great prophet Bob Jones, he was like, I didn't really like it there as much as I liked the first heaven, which was more grasses and trees and serenity and brooks. I really felt peaceful there. But when I went to the throne, the lightning, the thunder, the shaking, the constant sound of cherubim, even their wings make this noise. He says, it was just not peaceful there. But it was awesome. And we saw that God who in that place of awesomeness, when he landed on or came to Mount Sinai, trumpets sounded his arrival. And it got so loud that people just, they said they could not stand the sound. It was just so loud. They were shaking. The mountain shook. It was like a volcano of fire. And this is the God we serve. A God of fire. And here we are today in love with him. This makes no sense, right? But in my heart, it's where I have to be. And that's why you're here. You want that too. You have to be. You have to be here. You have to be in his fire. And if you've ever experienced his fire, even though it was a traumatic experience, you're like, I'm doing it again. You know, like the person that does something like they jump off a bridge and it was a long ways down and they land in the water and they came out alive and they're like, I was scared out to death, but I'm doing it again. And so we serve the God of again. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What was and is to come is the eternal God. He is that's why the cherubim circle him. And even Ezekiel described him as a wheel in a wheel. This is not in my notes. I'm running with the Holy Ghost. And so he's like, he's ever revolving, ever moving. And Solomon in his great wisdom wrote things in despair of thinking he had known God. But now he's like, I'm all messed up. But I know this. What was will be again. And what will be will come again. But there's going to be an end to this world. If you notice, the world is round. contrary to some people's theories that it's a dome. If you only chop the world in half, maybe that's a dome. But the dome of God's presence over the earth is a dome, but the world is round, and the entire universe circles something. And we give it the name the sun, and it's blazing and bright. And so our lives are encompassed about and circle the Son of God, who described in Revelations as blazing eyes of fire, feet like glowing bronze. And when he spoke, it was as many trumpets. And people that didn't have the discernment or were given to be able to hear what God was saying, that's all they heard, rumblings or what sounded like thunder or trumpets. Even in Revelations 4:1, it said, "And I behold, I saw a man standing in an open door, and he bid me, and it was as the sound of a trumpet." Now, if you've ever been next to a trumpet player, and they went like that to you because they were being ornery, it's not really something you want to have happen, right? But the sound of that trumpet is a breaking sound, and it shakes. It breaks and it shakes. And we saw that in the series of Jericho. They sounded the trumpet after the march and the walls came down. That's just a foretaste. But I want to say, hey, happy the eve of Yom Kippur, huh? Yeah, the Day of Atonement. The high and holy days. These are the days, we're in the last days of Elul, the Lord's appointed times. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, yeah, but that's that Jewish stuff, you know? We don't really do that. No, we don't, do we? And shame on us. Why is that a shame? Because we've been grafted. Those of us in the faith, in the Christian faith, we're so proud of our faith, but we know very little of Jewish ancestry. Everything started with them. Right? That God chose to give them the language. And by the way, if you study the Hebrew language, you realize that it's a mathematical genius of thought and picture. And God speaks to us that way, in thoughts and in pictures. And they got it. We're the ones that don't have it. But we're getting it. We're coming along, and God is bringing one new man. He's making a multitude of faiths and people into one new man. Yeah. And so we just say today that it is a Jewish New Year, and some of you know this well. I got a chance to hear it said by several people, even down at the House of Prayer. They talk some about this year, 5784. And so we're looking at 2023, 2024. That's our number system. But the Hebrew years follow a different system. And this is the way God appointed it. When he set up the times and seasons and gave them to Moses in Leviticus, he said, this is what you will do, because this is what we're going to be doing in heaven. And then Jesus gives us that photocopy. He says, now pray this way, our Father who art in heaven. And then he says, pray that the will of what's going on in heaven be done on earth. In other words, bring to earth way you see things in heaven. And that's the heart of our Christian faith, right? We want the heart of the Father. We want to know what he's saying, what he's doing. And then we want to manifest that. The enemy would have us manifest the human flesh and all of the things that's going on around us. And we've all had plenty of that. But what now we're pushing in and we're striving into manifesting the God of heaven, the God who rules and reigns. And our number one push and my number one goal is God rule and reign in my heart. Not just my heart, like as if to say, hey, like that old thing we said when we were kids, we used to torment people. We thought it was really funny to call a random number and say, like a liquor store would say, hey, you got Prince Albert in a can? They'd say, well, we sure do. We'd say, well, let him out, man. You know, we thought that was so funny. But Jesus in your heart, man, yeah, let him out. Manifest him. Let his good work in us begin to create activity. Yeah? Yeah. And so, looking at the years, we are in a decade of 57, 84. And I want to just give you a little bit of that because there's somewhere I'm going with this. It's not just about a Hebrew lesson. I'm trying to get to a place. And so I want to say this is where we are right now. This is what heaven is saying, what heaven is doing. And we want to know not just what America is doing or what the world is doing, but what is heaven doing about it? What is heaven doing in this time? And so we look at the numbers, the numerology that God puts out. He said, watch for these things, and I will put them in your number systems. I will put them in signs and wonders. And so me and my wife, we've become accustomed to watching numbers and looking at signs, and we're aware, even in pictures. Oh, wow, look at that. And I was talking with a certain individual, and they said, I was sitting and I was watching, and I saw this wonder, and it was a face, and then there was the sun. And it meant so much to him because his eyes were open and he was looking. And he said, you think I'm crazy? I go, no, I don't think you're crazy at all, because I'm crazy just like that. Yeah. So if you're crazy, I'm crazy. Yeah, but the main thing is that we're crazy for Jesus, yeah? And so the 57, 84, the 80 represents the decade of pay. And pay, really, the word eight means... It literally means the mouth and also means the word. And so we know that the worlds were formed by words. It was the thought of God and the genius of God and the scientists, the biologists, all of the ologists that we make up and we have studies and people are trying to figure out science. And God is already that. And it would behoove them to study God. And he might show them the secrets of the universe. That's what they really want to know. They're trying to figure out what makes this whole thing spin. And God's like. So the world, the Bible says that the worlds, that all things are held together by his word. And so the importance of the word in the decade of pay and the mouth is that we fill our lives full of the word. And when we come to hear the word and expound the word, there's the logos, the written word, that which has already been said, and now it becomes the job of kings and priests to search it out and find out what are the hidden mysteries. Because in them, you know, when Jesus spoke hard things and some people left, he turned to his disciples and said, you're going to leave too? And they said, where would we go? Thou hast the words of life. That Jesus was the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the same was in the beginning with him. And we move and it says, and all things were made by him. Nothing was made without him. And then in verse 12, then the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Wow. The living word, the creator of all the world, is in our decade right now speaking to us. Look unto me, look unto my word, fill your hearts with my word, and it'll show you how to live in the times getting ready to come. What you do in this, I really believe this, that what we do in this decade in regard to how we steward the word and our mouth and try to cut off the other words. We live in a world where we can't see words. They're floating in the air called digital wavelengths. And we're bombarded with that stuff. But so we must be ever diligent to put in the correct word, the word of truth. He said, I'll give you the counselor, the spirit of truth to lead you and guide you into all the truth. In the decade of pay, now we come, we're moving from 3 to 4, 84, and the 4 is representing, we get this picture, it's representing, and the Hebrew word for the fourth letter of the alphabet is dalet, that is the door, it literally the door of the tent. Now we have to understand the tent. The tent represents the place of abiding. It is even the stakes of the tent, how they hold up the roof, represents the Father's arms, his strength to hold up the tent. And those tents were heavy in those days to hold off the sun, made from animal furs and different things. Hanging from the tent was the door, and that is the lelet. And the door, the word lelet also means redemption and salvation. And so the tent is the place of abiding. And so the door always hung down. And this particular year of four, there's some argument between prophets and other people about, is the door open or is the door closed? Well, you're going to hear from this prophet that the door is hanging and it will swing both ways. It is there. If you push through, you will go to the other side. If you are on the inside and you push, you will come out and the door will close. And so in this year, we should be looking not just for open doors, but you should be looking for opportunities for open doors. So you see, and a few years ago, I had this dream, and I'm a prophetic dreamer, and the Lord said, in my dream, I was with a group of Christians like us, and we were at a large convention, and this convention was at a mall, and all I knew is I was leading the charge, and we were moving from the parking lot, going, and we had to go through doors. And so we pushed through the first glass doors. It was clearly able to see that we had to go in there. And then when we were up there, I realized, man, this is several stories high. And there were things going on below and above. And we're on one of the higher floors. And as we're moving along, we come to this door, and it's closed like this door. And I came to the door, oh, man, the door is closed, I thought to myself. And the people behind me are like, what are we going to do? I go, I don't know, let's try it. And I took the door. It just opened. And I thought, oh, well, okay, cool. We're good to go. We don't have to. I was thinking, man, we got to go all the way back and around, maybe get another floor. But it just opened, and we went through it. And so we're walking down this hallway, and expectation we're going to get somewhere. And we come to another door, and I'm thinking to myself, ah, oh, not again. Another door. It's closed. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to push on it. And so I pushed on the door, and just about the time I pushed on it, the door literally, as my hand touched it, it opened. And there was a man on the other side. He opens the door and says, hey, come on in. We've been expecting you. And I was like, this is great. Expecting us? Expecting me? And I was so excited. And we went inside. And inside the room was everything Russ likes. You know what I'm saying? There was DeWalt tools, you know, and Makita drills. And there was all this really cool stuff for, you know, building and woodworking and some things I'd never seen before, and it intrigued me. And so I looked, there was this music playing in the background. But as I looked, I saw tables set up, and there were craftsmen at the tables. And these craftsmen had, each one had a child sitting there at the little table, and they had some kind of a tool, and they were showing the child how to work this tool. And I looked at all the tools on display, and I looked at the craftsmen and what they were doing, and children sitting there. And then I could hear like the speakers in the ceiling, and there was music coming out of them. And this music was playing this heavenly music, because the sound and the pitch was angels, like, oh, you know, it was that kind of sound. And it was singing. I remember these words, open the door to new things. Open, it was heaven, angels were singing this. I was like, open the door to new things. So here we are on the year, and so go into long detail about that dream, but I think the Lord is saying, in my dream, I didn't know why I had that, but here I am in the year of the door. And this is a year for when God will give us opportunity. If you are pushing and you are looking, it may not, the door may open. If it's by opportunity, in those days, if the tent door was open, yes, you were invited. If it's hanging down, you can assume you're not invited. However, that it may not be the case. The case may be you have to knock. Even Jesus in Revelation 3:12 says, "Behold, I 3:20, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice," you got a choice. You either open the door and let me in or not. But if you do, guess what we're going to do? We're going to sit at the king's table and we're going to dine with one another. We're going to sup with one another. And that was a high thing in the Hebrew culture, that we have fellowship through Shabbat, right? Yes, Jesus comes in for Shabbat. It's a good practice. We're doing it, they're doing it at the house of prayer, and I like it a lot. We come for prayer, and then we Shabbat. And then we go, and we maybe hear the word, and maybe we worship, and worship is the greatest part. Although we've already determined that the word is great. So the decade of the word, and the decade of doors. And so keep your eyes open. Sometimes you have to, how do you know if the door is open or closed for you? Sometimes you got to push on it. Jesus is the key, right? He has all the authority. And in the kingdom, there are doors and then there are keys. And the one who has the keys has all the authority. And the key represents authoritative position. And so if you find that a door is open to you, the key of the king just maybe opened it up for you. And in my particular case, I had to push before. And then as soon as I did, it was like, man, confirmation. Those on the other side said, welcome. That's a word to somebody here today. So physical things have spiritual meanings. I want to say that, why do Christians observe these high holidays, these appointed times? Why should we concern ourselves with these numbers and these? We went from about 10 days ago from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, which is the beginning of the Hebrew New Year's. It was a time that we're in right now called the Days of Awe or the Days of Repentance to the Feast of Trumpets and Yom Kippur. And so we are on the eve of the most holy day in the Hebrew culture, the Jewish culture. It's a day of fasting and a day of benevolence to rend. But this whole 10 days between Rosh Hashanah, which we blew the trumpet to announce the coming of the Lord, that there would be new assignments and new things that God was going to do. And the music I heard in my dream was open the door to new things. And how many of you remember the scripture? Behold, I do a new thing. I do a new thing. Forget the former things, for I'm about to do a new thing. What we know about doors is sometimes there are different kinds of doors. And that this, if you have currently in a place where there's a door and you're working there, you're it, and God is saying, I want you to go to the next level. I want you to go to the next door. You may be just perfectly satisfied with where you're at. Your comfort zone is good here. Why would I want to do that? Because you've been asking for my will and you've been asking for promotion. And I'm now telling you it's time to build. And in my room that I went into was all building stuff, tools to do it. And I'm a craftsman by not just my physical hands, but by nature of the spirit. I have a spirit of craftsmanship. And so when I move into, and some people can testify, oftentimes they say, we got this problem. And I go, well, let's see what the Lord would say. And immediately I know what it is. And I go, I can tear a wall off, and inside is exactly the problem. And I'm not boasting on me. It's the Spirit. You see, that God has gifted you in areas of your life that you may not even know. And now you're like, okay, I'm going to take you to the next level of that. We're going to make one, two, and then three, sometimes more. We're going to multiply you. And even God, our Father's a good businessman, I will tell you that. Jesus, when he was just a child, recognized that. And they looked for him. Where have you been? He stayed in Jerusalem. And they were 2 days down the road, and they had to go back and find him. And he said, well, didn't you know I'd be about my Father's business? It's a business. The kingdom of heaven is a business. And if many of you remember my dream about the Father visiting me and saying, I want you to enter my business. Consider my proposal. The Father was a businessman. And he's not a man, but in my dream, he was a man. And he showed himself as a man, as part of a typology that I have business on earth. And we are in the king's business. When you come into the Father's house, it is a house of business. And the first business of the house is you can either be Mary and go to the feet of Jesus and fall in love with him, or you can be Martha, go in the kitchen and get busy and make food, and Jesus likes to eat. Both are good. At some point, both are business, but we must take care of business on both ends, right? We must take care of the business of worshiping him and falling in love with him and adoring him, because that's what they do in heaven, and they recognize all of life comes from this Father. Jesus says, I'm about my Father's business. I'm learning how he does stuff. Not that he wasn't the Word made flesh. It was so easy for him. So I want to say that this could be a year of doors closing. In order to go through one door, a door behind you might close. He might be done with that season, and he's saying, okay, thank you. You worked well in that season. Now that season, you have endured the pain, the trial, the troubles of that season. I'm going to close the door on it. This will be painful for you if you dwell on that past season. Don't you know that the Israelites in the desert experienced some pain? They got mad at Moses and said, what? You brought us here to die in the desert? We could have died in Egypt with full pots of meat. And they were getting sarcastic. And Moses goes to God. He says, I didn't ask for this. Doors represent alignments to assignments. If you're taking notes, write it down. Appointments for anointments. An opportunity for those in tune. You get it? An opportune moment means you were in tune enough to get that frequency. Got it. I think God's telling me this. And you move, and you push the door, and you try it. You know, sometimes there's a scripture that says, and they were healed on the way. They got up and they began to do what they felt in their heart Jesus had told them to do. They were not yet physically able to see their healing, but the healer himself proclaimed healing over them and said, now go show yourself to the priest. Wash yourself, show yourself to the priest. They didn't see anything happen yet, but they believed and they moved. And when they moved, they were healed on the way. And so sometimes we got to move. We can't just wait for, you know, a meteorite worth $1 million to land in our backyard. We got to go after it. You got to go hunt for it. Understand that not all doors are good. There are some doors that are bad. So when we're talking about the doors, this is a very important concept. This is why I wanted to get to this. It's not the other stuff that everybody already knows. These are the things new to me. Hopefully, they'll give you something too. But did you know the first mention of a door in the Bible had to do with sin and demons? And so sometimes God wants to close something in our life that's hurt us. It's harming us. It's hurt us. And he wants to get us out of that spot and close that door. I myself have had to have some deliverances in my life. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. I had this vision while in a session, and I'm being very blunt with you guys. You can do whatever you want to do with it. Jesus was standing there. I saw him clear as a bell. And this is what he was doing. He was pointing. I wanted more from him than just a point. He wasn't pointing at me as if to say, you. He was pointing that way. And in this setting, I saw an ancient garden door made out of ancient stones, very old, who knows how many thousands of years old. It was an ancient door. And there was a stone wall. And there were things I was giving to the Lord. I got to get rid of this stuff. Lord, I'm crying before the Lord. And having somebody help me, lead me through this. And Jesus is standing there. And he's pointing at the door. Very significant. And as I'm relinquishing these things, these painful things of my life, stuff would, a wild horse literally ran right through me. I felt it like that. And it was this big white wild horse, and he was bucking and kicking. And I was like, wow, look at that. Beautiful horse, too. And he went right through that door at Jesus' command. And his tail was as long as 20 feet or something. I don't know what the deal with that. But what I wanted to get at is there are things in our life. Repentance things, things that have harmed us, things that were done to us. They became open doors for the spiritual world to come in and reside in you and plague you the rest of your life and keep you without confidence. And we need confidence. For this is the I'll tell you the scripture says, this is the confidence we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, then we know we have our petition. We don't know how long it'll take. But I know I got the petition before the Lord. And so our confidence of high value, without confidence, the right kind of confidence, not just self-confidence, but confidence that God is with me and I'm able to do all things, and that he loves me and that he's for me. And even through the trials and the hurts and the pains of life, he's with me. Ask Job. How many of you read the story of Job? He was just beat up, man. He was shaken, and I'm going to get to the shaking if I don't run out of time. I'm flowing by the Spirit. The notes are going to go out the window. But he was shaken. Why? But he was not lost. He didn't know the narrative. He was never told the narrative. He just knew all of his children are dead. All of my servants are gone and dead. Everything I had has been stolen and taken away. I now have boils. I'm sitting in the dirt. I'm putting ashes on my head, and I just wish I was never born. I know that there's been times, if you're an adult, maybe even as a child, you said to yourself, in an ignorant way, because you didn't understand your emotions. I just wish I was dead. I wish I was never born. I wish these things never happened to me. Too bad you're here. You can't do anything about it. The point is this. In chapter 38, this is when it gets good. It's pretty good up till then, listening to all these guys tell their take on God. You know, they're pretty sharp guys. You listen to the things they say. This is Job's friends. This is why this is happening. It had to be why it's happening to you. For God is great. He's just, and he never does anything unjust. And they go through all this stuff. All of his ways are righteous. And all of what they're saying is true. Absolutely true. They don't know God. They think they know him. And God is saying, from the beginning, this is the most righteous man on earth. have you considered my servant Job? And there's a little contest. Well, I bet if you just stop blessing him, he wouldn't say that. He'd curse you to your face. And God's like, not a chance. Don't you know Peter and Jesus had this conversation? Jesus changed Peter's name from Cephas to Peter, which means the rock. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. Jesus was so confident in Peter, he knew he was going to fail, but he prayed. He says, but Peter, I pray for you. You will get through this after you are downcast and you are lift back up. I pray you encourage your brothers. And actually, the word is a plural word there when he says, Jesus speaking, he says, Satan is required, asked to sift you. That word you is a plural word, meaning y'all. In other words, those that would follow, those people that were, their leader was, Peter was kind of like the leader of the fishermen. And this group followed. If Peter said, hey, knock it off, they knocked it off. He was that kind of a roughneck. And God said, I want a man like that on my side. Get some rough edges off, like us. Sometimes we got to get the rough edges off, you know? And God's going to make us a smoother people to be around. But Peter, as we know the story, he did pass his test. He came back. That's all you got to do to pass. If you mess up, just come back. Show back up the next day. If you had a bad day at work, don't quit. Show back up the next day. And if there was anybody you need to apologize to, say, listen, not a bad day yesterday, you guys. Please forgive me. You know they're going to. They're going to. They're going to be, we get it. We all have those days, right? Show back up. So in the 38th chapter, God shows up with Job and he begins to say, who is this that darkens my counsel? And then he begins to question Job. But there's four guys sitting there and they got to listen to it. Notice, the part I notice is God never addresses them, even though he indirectly addresses them. He's talking to his man. And I'm so encouraged by that, because God loved Job from the beginning. And Job's like, why won't he just, why is his ear deaf to me? How come he won't just show up and tell me why I'm going through this fiery trial? Why is life so hard right now? I wish I'd never been born. But he never curses God, even though his wife says, why don't you just curse him and be done with it, as if he were just another idol. Throw him off in the fire. And Job says, no, not a chance of that. And God knew that. He knew he would not fail. That was the whole game. But you know, unfortunately, fortunately for us, we've got this great vantage point, right? Yeah. We got the book. He didn't get the book. Right. In fact, when God shows up, he reveals two things. I was there all the time. I heard every word you guys were talking about. You're wondering where I was. I was right here. Just because you don't see me doesn't mean I'm not here. And I want to say that to you young people today. God is as real and here today for you in your life. Even though your physical eyes don't see him, he's given you other opportunities to see him on the mountain. Look around and begin to see how he placed himself in every single biological event that's happening around you, the mighty rivers, the beautiful trees, the glorious canyons and mountains, the fresh air. God's in all of it. That's his artistry at work, and we see him through his creation. In fact, if you want to talk about creation, just look around. See how wonderful and beautiful we are as humans. God once told me, as I was listening to him, he said, I want you to study the things like the bugs and the biological functions of birds and plants. Just study it a little bit. And you will see that these things are wonderfully and marvelously made. And yet, I know even if a single sparrow falls, how much more I have made you wonderfully and know you. I know your thoughts, and I'm not judging you. I'm encouraging you to come along and recognize your Creator, how much He loves you, how much He loves you. That's a side note. But the thing that happened with Job is God was there all the time, and that He tells Job, now you can make sacrifice for those guys, and I'm going to restore all that you lost. He never did tell Job the gig. He didn't. And that's kind of sad. But that's an encouragement to us because we get the book. Things will happen. They're going to happen. We're living in a world of great and crazy things going on around us. And we need to be aware. And I'm going to try to move along a little quicker because I want to get to my message in Hebrews chapter 12. If you have a Bible, we've been here before. Eric's been preaching on it. You literally are a town who has lived through this chapter. But I would say this is just a chapter in things to come. And so I'm going to start with verse 22. And I would say, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the city of the living God. You have come to thousands and thousands of angels, to joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names were written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of the righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we? If we turn away from him who warns us from heaven, at that time his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised once more, I will not only shake the earth, but the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of that which can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, and we are in the 10 days of awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, you heard Eric pour out his heart a few weeks ago, and as I was listening to that, I thought that was very heartfelt and very good, the way he brought it out, that you literally, this town has walked, lived through the fire, a fire in your lives that consumed some of your stuff to where you walked away with nothing. If you were lucky, you had a car, maybe your Bible or something, whatever you had in your car when you got out of here, because when you came back, it was ashes. I want to say that we are coming into a time and a season where we have began to see the shakings, the rumblings, the tremors, and I would not have you ignorant, and that's what it says in the scripture. It says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. And so I would speak to you today as one speaking literally from the scriptures, and I'm judging what's happening on the earth as a watchman on the wall. There are things happening in the world and in the United States that are literally going to shake the world. It's not just coming from the United States. We're nothing but an instrument of destruction and shaking for what the enemy would love to do, and God always has his side of it. Now, let us be understood that everything that the enemy does, God says, what the enemy meant for bad, I meant for good. And so a few weeks ago, I was listening, and Jody gave a great message on shaking. And she asked these questions. She said, what does it mean, shaking mean? What do these things mean? And I was pondering on it. I was thinking about that. And if any of you know me, you realize, you know, I'm a slow person. I'm not Johnny on the spot with answers. I'm like, I'm going to think about this deeply. I think about that and meditate on that and see what the Lord would say. And so I was sitting, and everybody was had these answers, and they were all good. And they all had their lifelong experiences behind them and what they understood from scriptures. But I just couldn't come up with an answer. I had a few ideas. So I didn't say a thing. I just waited. And so after her message, which was really good, and she encouraged us to be strong, stand firm, having your feet, even as in, I got this part, in concrete, unmovable, upon the rock. And so I was like, yeah, that's okay. But we went into a time of worship, which is one of the things I love about the house of prayer, and you're all invited to come. It's not another church where you say, I already go to a church. Well, it's not even a church. It's a house of prayer. It's where we come and meet with believers, and we worship, and we pray, and we have Shabbat. And there's a purpose for it. It is to capture a place in a region and make it a shining light so that the enemy can be shaken. God wants to use houses of prayer, and you can turn this one into a house of prayer, in a high place at that. The high places, take it back, become a house of prayer, and begin to shake the devil. God will do the shaking for you. You will do it by through prayer. And so as I was worshiping, and just worshiping God, just giving him my own, finally it occurred to me, God, I don't really know what to shake. And all at once, like dumping a bucket of water on me, he downloaded me with some stuff just like that. And I was like, whoa, that was a lot all at once in a second or two. And computers were able to do that, but Russ can't. And I was like, I got to sit down. So I sit down and I heard, go to Hebrews 12, go to Acts 16 and Acts 12. And so I was like, what? Okay, so what are those? And I opened up and I look, I began to see the scriptures that we read here in chapter 12, and said, and once more, and I heard this in my spirit, speak to me loudly, once more. In other words, I'm going to do this again. This has been done before. Get ready. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. And this is not the first time this was mentioned in scripture. You know, we find that God talking about this in other places. He's talking about it over in Habakkuk. He talks about it in the Exodus and Leviticus stuff when Mount Sinai shook as he talked to man. There was a shaking. And in that time, there were principalities. Who got shook? Well, the people certainly got shook. It said even Moses trembled with fear. But there were principalities and powers. When he says, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, know that heaven is always shaking at the throne. But it's not shaken. So we need to understand the difference between shaking and shaken. That shaking means I'm going to break something loose. There is a stronghold that has its grip on something, and I'm going to shake it so that its grip is let go. It can't hold on. And over regions and territories, there are principalities and powers. They rule over areas, and they bring mindsets. How do you know that even in the church, there's a mindset? And there's a mindset that God is saying, I'm tired of your apathy, the spirit that you think that you can't do anything, that you should just have your Sunday morning services and that be it, that you're not called to be world changers and global shakers. I'm tired of that, and I'm going to shake that. I'm going to break that religious spirit's hold on you, and I'm going to have this place where people will fall humbly on their face and cry out to me for revival. You're not going to save a town by being nice. You can nice somebody right into hell. You know what I'm saying? You can be their best friend, and if you don't give them Jesus, you're not a friend at all. If you call Jesus your friend, if I call Jesus my friend, and he's the greatest thing in my life, but I don't give him away, I'm a liar and a hypocrite. And it's time we break that spirit of religion that says, I don't have to. If they don't want him, I'm just not going to worry about it. I got everything I need. That's so selfish. Let's break that selfish spirit. And there are spirits in churches that are sitting in pews, and they're casting their self upon the atmosphere of the church. And the Lord's saying, I want to break that spirit's back. I want it to come out. I want to speak to that thing and say, come out. Like when Jesus said to the leper, come out. Come out. The spirit left him, and immediately he was at peace and got up. There was a divining spirit. Do you think there aren't spirits of divining spirits that cast clouds on people's heads? There was a divining spirit with Paul and Silas. This is how they got thrown into jail. This young woman, she's speaking everything about Paul before he even had a chance to let the Lord speak. He finally got tired of it, and I think I often wondered, why did he bother to cast her out? She was saying, look, this is servants of the Most High God, and they're bringing you the Son of God, Jesus. And she went on and on. Why did he worry about that? And finally, it came to me. Because this is what's going on in the world today. There's a commingling. And Paul says, I'm bringing the pure gospel, and I don't want no devil intermixing itself and saying that it commingles, and he didn't want any of that. Shut up, devil. Finally, he's like, turn around and said, shut up and come out of her. And immediately the spirit came out. And I think we got to do that in the pulpit today. We got to do that in our houses, in our church. We got to tell the devil, shut up and come out. We got to turn off that voice box that's giving us another word, but the word of God. There are conspiracies, and maybe they're real, maybe they're not. There's the fake stream media, which is nothing but a bunch of, you know why I call it that? Because when you can turn on ABC and then go to NBC and they said the same thing, what, they got together and had a meeting? What is this? Yes, they did. And the person that's doing that is giving them the narrative, and they're feeding it in the airwaves. And people that sit and listen to that are brainwashed into thinking that's really what's going on. And they become haters of good because the media is owned and bought by the devil himself, the spirit of the air. And it's time we take back the spirit over this air in this area with houses of prayer and ask for a shaking. What would it be if we asked for a shaking? Who wants that? Been through a fire. I don't want another one of those. Now you're saying, and God is saying, I want a pure and holy people. You want to be commingled with a devil? On one hand, you're going to bring me the good, pure word of God. But then on the other hand, you're allowing devils that fill young women to say, this is the Son of God. He's come to give you a message. Messengers of God. That so bothered Paul. I'm not commingling with that. Get out. Come out. Come out. Okay, so here's what's happening. The first mention, we were talking about doors. The first mention of doors in the Bible was with Cain. He said, Cain, why are you so downcast? And did you know that the meaning of the word dalet also means to hang down low? Ooh. Come on, there's a prophetic word here, somebody. He told Cain, sin is crouching at your door. The door that hangs down, the closed door that should have remained closed, keep it closed. If you don't master this devil, and the word sin there, if you go back to the original meaning, is really talking about his spirit. That the devil, who was a killer, a stealer, and a destroyer, was there already working on Cain to bring him to a place of anger, to the point where, because his gift to the Lord wasn't accepted and his brother called him out on it. Come on now. There's a spirit of offense in the church today that God wants to say, come out. Come out. It's time we stop getting offended with one another and say, well, you might have something there, brother. Pray for me. Pray for me. If Cain had said to Abel, pray for me, will you? Show me how to do this. I missed it somehow. He would have had a second go and then he would have been accepted, but no, he wallered at the hanging down door where the devil was crouching. Notice he's crouching at the door. We got to close some of these doors, folks. We got to get the devil out, keep the devil out. Years ago, there was a song by a certain artist, and the song goes, shut the door, keep out the devil. Shut the door, keep the devil in the night. Shut the door. It's a really catchy song, but it just came to me right now as I was talking. I thought, that's what we got to do. We got to make an extra effort in our family lives to make sure anything that's in alignment, if we want to be in alignment with the Holy God, for alignments, for assignments, remember that, in the year of pay, in the decade of pay, in the year of delight, if we want to catch our assignments, we're going to have to close the door on some things that will hinder our next walk with God. You decide what those are by asking the Holy Spirit, is that bottle of whiskey sitting in the window over there? Should I just chuck that? Are those cigarettes sitting over? Should I just chuck those? I don't know what kind of devil is crouching in that bottle. Camp Sierra, they were passing around a bottle the other night at one of the gatherings. And it was something, some kind of red cinnamon tasting stuff. Got a picture of a devil on it. Come on. How much more like revelation do you need, or, you know, understanding do you have to get? And so somebody sometime back gave me one of those little things. And I thought, oh, not bad. Tastes pretty good. And then afterwards, all night long, I had the worst heartburn for a week. I thought I was going to die. And I thought, did I just let that devil in? I had to get a deliverance to get my sanity back, to get my stomach back in order. What channel do you have on your radio? You know, music is beautiful. God created it. But did you know that the one of the persons in ancient heaven who was made for music is now the God of this world, not a follower of God? He rebelled. So be very careful, because he is orchestrating even places that call themselves K-L-O-V-E and things like that. Be careful of the spirit behind that. The not always what you think. Those people are entrenched into the society. And so be careful what you listen to and the spirit that is behind it. I like music about stuff, but I've come to a place now where I like music that does only one thing. It is the music of adoration. It is the music that doesn't sing about God. It is causing me to sing to the Most Holy God in adoration of Him. That's called worship. Other forms they're calling worship might not be. I'm just throwing that out there. It might not be. Watch what your frequencies are. You got turned on your television. Watch what kind of game players you got playing in your house. I came home one day. My son was a teenager at that time. Now I can't tell him anything. But at that time, came home. He's got the big screen TV, and he's, man, I mean, he's got the two best thumbs on earth. You know, it's like if I play him in anything, he kills me in a second. It's like, ah, oh, I give up, man. You kill me every time. You know, like those games where you, and so he's playing something, and he's in a car, and he's driving, and he's crashing, and he's shooting. I'm like, what the heck is this? I feel a bad spirit on this. And he's not telling me, and so I'm like looking at the little disc cover, and it's called Grand Theft Auto. I'm like, what? God, what do you say about that? And the Lord starts to get that out of your house. Get it out. You're giving a place to the enemy, and it's an open door that now I love my son with all my heart. But he's going to have a deliverance. He's going to have to get that Grand Theft Auto out of his soul. He's going to have to get some of those other things that he played and did out of his soul. The door needed to be shut and kept shut. And as parents, I'm speaking to you parents, if you don't shut it for your kids, don't expect them to shut it. And when it comes judgment day and you're standing before the Lord, they stand before the Lord over stuff in their soul. Don't think he's not going to look at you and go, there's going to be a moment of that. I'm not really too worried about some of that stuff, but I am saying this. God is looking for a bride ready for a wedding. We talked a little bit about that this morning. Spotless, without wrinkle, without stain. And the shaking that is going to occur once again, this time it's going to be a major shaking because the events are lining up. We are already, I will tell you, in the book of Revelation. And think you're not, then go ahead and think it. I'm telling you, some of the horses that it talks about in Revelation, the plagues and so forth, they were released in 2020. The whole world suffered with this plague. Even now that we're back to not being masked, oh, by the way, in the decade of pay, why do you think the enemy came up with a mask? To put it over your mouth, to shut you up from speaking the word, to close down pulpits so people couldn't stand up here and speak the truth, a hard truth as it might be, to a people. Instead, we're getting something called wokeism. When we should be awake, not woke, there's a difference. There's a smoke, a mystical smoke that smells like crack to me when someone says woke. Stop smoking that woke smoke. Don't let it in your house. Don't intermingle devils. What place does devils have with the Spirit of the living God? What place? If you will clean up your house and fill it full of the fire of the living God, the enemy won't come in. Why? Because, you know, he just doesn't like that fire. He don't like it. And if you turn on the fire, he will leave immediately. Because this is a fire that reminds him of the fire to come. An eternal judgment of fire made for the devil and all the demons. And we don't want to give them places in our house. Well, you know, shoot the prophet. I don't care. I'm going to die someday anyway. No, but I do care.